go on and they go right out of here and go sin. They just heroes. Now, you done heard tonight how to develop your faith. What you going to do with it? You know what strong faith is. Now, what you going to do with this word you heard tonight? Are you going to go home and start practicing giving glory to God and taking a promise that God is, say, an area where you have need, and you stack some promises up and say, now, this is the will of God, and this is what we're going to have, and then you start thanking God for that, even though it looked like everything is opposite?
Amen.
Everything happening crazy? I mean, you know, we got things going, that good, crazy stuff happening. You got to start putting the word, interjecting the word in it, and interjecting your faith in it if you want to change. If you keep just reporting the weather, then all you're going to get is what the weather give you. Faith changed the weather. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But you know, God is really interested in you. He's concerned about you. And he wants your faith to be strong, because so much he wants to do in your life that you got to increase your faith in God. So you can have God's best. So you can see further than you've ever seen. So you can believe like you've never believed before. So you can have things that you've only dreamed about that's in God's will for your life. He wants your faith to be strong. But you got to be a doer of the word. When you hear something in the word, then you got to do it. You got to be a doer. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what?
By every word.
See, to my living by the word, that means acting on it. That means obeying it. That means practicing it. You have to practice casting your cares, or they'll come on you and just wear you out. Right? Just because you're casting them today don't mean you're going to cast them on Wednesday. So you had to keep on applying. You had to keep on walking in it. If you got a situation that's got you concerned and worried, you got to say, mm-mm. I refuse to worry about this and give this care to God. And every time the devil reminds you, say, I ain't got it, God got it. I ain't going to worry about it. I ain't going to lose no sleep. I got peace and joy, and that's the way it's going to be. God's taking care of that. Father, if you need me to do anything, by the way, I'll do it. If you need me to do anything that will help this situation, just let me know and I'll do it. But other than that, it's in your hands. I trust you. And I refuse to worry about anything. I'm going to be happy and joyful, and I'm going to have peace. And that's the way I'm going to live. Amen.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Today we want to deal with new beginnings. Because no matter who you are, what you've gone through, what mistakes you've made, where you are in life, you will discover that God provides new beginnings for his people. One of the greatest joys of grace is knowing that God's grace covers, provides for us another chance. The devil would want us to believe that when we miss it, when we fall, when we fail, that God has washed his hands with us. But listen, when we truly repent and turn from our wicked ways, God's word shares with us and shows to us how he will redeem us and restore us. And so I want to encourage somebody, no matter what you've gone through, what you've done, how far you've missed it, to know today that God is so much a part of new beginnings that he took a whole year and broke new beginnings into 365 parts. So no matter what you did or didn't do, what happened good or bad on yesterday, guess what? Today is a brand new day. New start, new beginnings. And God wants you to know you can have a fresh opportunity to do things differently today. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 54 through verses 62. That's Luke, chapter 22, verse 54 through verses 62. And while you're turning there, I do want you to recognize and realize that Peter is one of the prime examples of how God, no matter how close we are to him, can miss it, can fall short, can make mistakes, but God and his mercy, his grace, can restore us back to our place. Amen. Rita.
2:54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. Verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Verse 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want you to say with me, a new beginning. A new beginning. Those are words of hope to those of us who have missed it and disappointed God and ourselves and our loved ones and found in that moment of disappointment that it appeared that it was almost insurmountable to get over that disappointment. It's important to recognize that God wants us to recognize in His Word, in His will, and in His way that He has provided for the believer who has been saved from the penalty of sin and saved from the power of sin, but not yet removed from the presence of sin, that though his walk is to be circumspect every now and then outside of the Holy Spirit, we fall. We sin, we mess up, we make the wrong decisions and choices, and yet God does not give us a license to sin, but He does want us to know that there is an answer to sin. Peter is one of the most colorful, courageous, contradictive personalities in the followings of Christ. Peter, whom the Lord saw something great in when he was a little pebble and made Peter the leader of the disciples. There are times, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord sees things in us that we don't see in ourselves. That God sees things in us that others can't see in us. But we've got to trust that God knows best. You look at what the scripture records about Peter, and you'll recognize that Peter, though lifted up in power and prestige, and one lifted up in the ranks of Jesus' following, is the same one who has fallen, made mistakes, missed the mark. And so even though the Lord Jesus elevated him, he was not perfect. Wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, there was no other man that Jesus honored greater than Peter. According to Matthew chapter 16 and 18, when he says, "And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But let me also say that there is not another man that Jesus rebuked as sharply as Peter. When Peter was being used as a tool and an instrument of Satan. For Matthew 16 and 23 says that Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But I also want to share with you that no man has denied Jesus greater than Peter. According to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74, you're going to see that the cock crew after Peter had denied Jesus thrice. But you're also going to find out that no man ever claimed to have greater loyalty for Jesus than Peter, found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 31, when he made clear, "Listen, I will die with you before I forsake you. All the others may forsake you, but I'm willing to die with you." Listen, no other man has been smitten by the look of Jesus when he missed the mark like Peter, found in Luke chapter 22, verse 61. And when the cock crew in that 60th verse, the Bible says Jesus looked around. And when Jesus and Peter's eyes locked, what did Peter see? Was it judgment and anger? No. What Peter saw was a loving, compassionate, disappointed Christ, not in Peter, but in the fact that Peter didn't believe what Jesus had prophesied. And then no greater grief is found other than by Peter in Luke 22, verse 62. And he, Peter, went out and wept bitterly. And that word wept in the Greek comes from the Greek word klio, and it means to wail passionately and painfully. In other words, Peter went out and he hollered out of pain and sorrow and disappointment. He didn't utter just a little moaning, oh Lord, I disappoint. He screamed out in anguish, how could I have done that? He wailed. And so there is no other man that was restored, redeemed, and reassigned like Peter, according to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. You remember they had gone fishing because Peter felt disconnected from the Lord Jesus Christ at that point, not worthy to be his servant anymore. And he went fishing, and the others said, we go also. And they were out there and didn't catch nothing. And Jesus was on the seashore. This is after he rose. And Jesus tells them to cast his net on the other side. And they catch such a great net of fish that it takes two boats to bring it in. And of course, Jesus, when he spoke and Peter recognized him, he jumped out the boat and swam to shore. Now, on the seashore, the Bible says in that 15th verse, after they had dined, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And he said, feed my lamb, the baby sheep. He asked him again, do you love me? Feed my sheep, the young sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep, the mature sheep. And he made Peter to be transformed from a fisherman to a chef. That's why in one of Paul or Peter's letter, he tells the men and women of God, feed the sheep of God. Listen, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, because he himself understood what it meant for the Lord Jesus Christ to restore you and to reassign you and to elevate you after you've fallen so low. Isn't it amazing how the Lord differs from man? When you disappoint man, when you hurt man to the degree that Peter hurt Jesus, most of us would not want to have anything to do with you again, would never trust you, don't want you in our company, don't have two words to say to you, wishing that the worst would happen to you, don't even want to hear your name spoken, but not Jesus. Jesus takes us when we repent, and he straightens us out. And not only does he give us another chance, but he shows us that he can use us even better than he did before we fell. Somebody ought to say glory to God. Now let's go back into text. I want to share a few things with you because I think it's important for us to learn some things from Peter's fall. I think it's helpful for us to learn how to handle situations in our own life that Peter shows us that happened in his life. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to know the word, because the Bible tells us that all the things that were written in the word were written for our learning. God wants us to learn from other folks' mistakes so that we don't have to repeat them. Now listen at this. Verse 54 says this, that Peter followed Jesus afar off. afar off. Now, I want you to know Peter was still connected to the heart of Jesus. But because he followed afar off, he was close enough to care, but he was not close enough to count. Yes, some of y'all missed that. I said he was close enough to care. In other words, Peter kept his eye on Jesus, watched him as they moved him from one place to the next place. He stayed close enough to be able to see him, but not close enough to say he was with him. My brothers and sisters, I think that's important for us to see, because we do Jesus an injustice when we say we belong to him, but we can't stand with him. When we in this world come up against the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ and we step back to allow Jesus only to represent himself and not one of us in this world who he has saved, delivered, and set free would stand by him and say, I am a child of the living God. I am a child of the Lord God. I thank God for Jesus saving me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, and mean it. But when we follow afar off, listen, my brothers and sisters, it does not show how much we care. It does not show how much we are committed, and it does not show how much we are truly concerned. And when Peter followed afar off, it began his downfall. But listen to this. Verse 55 reveals another point. If verse 54 reveals that he followed afar off, then verse 55 shows us that when you follow afar off, point two, you fellowship with the wrong folk. You see, when you follow Jesus afar off, you find yourself fellowshipping with the people who don't like Jesus. Peter found himself in the company of those who did not care about Jesus. Peter found himself in the company of the enemies of Jesus. Now, it would be a different story if Peter were there witnessing about Jesus and telling the enemies about Jesus. But Peter didn't open up his mouth to say one positive thing about Jesus. The Bible says, and I want you to see this, that he was among them. The Bible didn't say he was with them. I want to bring out another point in that, because you don't have to be with the enemy to be considered with the enemy. All you have to do is be among the wrong folk. If you're not one of them, then why be among them? Did you hear what I just said? I'm bothered by folk who tell me when they hang out with the wrong people and folk who are suspect that, yeah, I know they're like that, but I'm not like that. Well, maybe you might not be like that in full reality, but maybe you got some tendencies. It's something that's making you keep company with the wrong folk. Y'all can get quiet if you want, but I'm trying to help somebody. If they are not your friends, why have fellowship with them? If they're not the friends of Jesus, here's what the word makes clear. Any enemy of God is an enemy of mine. What the Lord hates, I hate also. You can't come here telling me about no different strokes for different folks. It's one word for all.
One word fits all. You ain't got no different words for different people. Don't be sucked in by the enemy's lies and his deceit when God has made clear in his word, listen, that bad company corrupts good manners. Old folk used to say, you can tell a man by the company he keeps. Y'all getting quiet on me this morning. I'm just trying to tell you, when you follow Jesus afar off, you usually fellowship with the wrong folk. And the Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of. Check yourself, check your company, and check what it's saying. Now listen at this. Because one of the things I want you to see as well is when we fellowship with the wrong folk, it usually causes us in our fallen faith to make grave mistakes. Falling faith causes us to make grave mistakes. One of the things that I need you to see about Peter is that he made five mistakes that lowered his faith every time he made another mistake. His faith was falling from the place that the Lord Jesus Christ had hoped that he would maintain when he told him not long before then in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, watch with me for 1 hour. You know what Peter missed? The Lord didn't want Peter to watch and pray for him. He wanted Peter to watch and pray for himself, that he enter not into temptation. Listen, because one of the problems with not praying and be watchful and being vigilant is the fact that the enemy can creep up on you and is so subtle that before you know it, he's in your presence and you don't even know it. And so when Peter was awakened three times by Jesus, who had asked him to watch with him while he go yonder and pray, and Peter fell asleep. When Jesus told him, wake up, the enemies are coming, Peter jumps up. What is the first thing Peter does? He grabs his sword and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear, slashed. Why? Because it was a response to him being disobedient to Jesus and not being prayerful and not being watchful. He never saw it coming. So to try and redeem himself, he started to defend Jesus. Well, I got news for you. He could not defend Jesus, but if he had been prayerful and watchful, he would have been in place to have not responded in that manner. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ tells Peter, Peter, put the sword up. You're not even a good swordsman. I could see him cutting the man's head off. But what good is cutting the ear off? Jesus reaches down, pick up the man here, slap it back on his head, gave him better hearing than that ear than he ever had. Told Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Now listen at this, because I want you to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that the power of